act sins of daring.
Because except for recent time, there have not been opportunities for decades for young persons like us of opposite sex to interact. You know, when opposite sex interact without barrier. When I say without barrier, without anybody stopping you. So this is what happens. Because I don't mean the type of interactions that go on campus. Waliyahubillah, that will never be our explanation here. So, but when it happens like that, I think what we have to bear in mind, brothers, is that we may not need to confront his sister with her khitbah, so that at least we'll be able to save her of that psychological and emotional problem that may come with such proposal. And let us not think it is impossible or impracticable. At least I have a practical example, which I used to be very happy to say. Sometimes ago, I saw a sister I liked in UI, and what I did was to find out about her and about her family. So I went to the father, I introduced myself, and I told him that I know this girl is young. I think the sister was 19 then. So we discussed that plan. So even though what happened at the end of that story was sad, but at the same time, what was expected was done. Because what actually happened was that the man, after the discussions we had, asked me, have you talked to her? I said, no. I couldn't have talked to her. Even my first wife, I didn't talk to her just like that. I used to say this, even my first wife was my student, direct student. And the day I went to her dad to seek her hand in marriage, the dad was surprised. That the dad was a senior lecturer, a lack of way for that matter. So, Abba, 1920, that you said, no, I couldn't do it that way. I have to talk to you. Because she might be interested in me. If you're not interested in me, there will be no justification for me to cause friction between you and your daughter. You know, there are other psychological issues. Psychological issues that go with that issue. It goes beyond, I am religious, she's religious. Are you getting me? It might not be necessary. I said, mashallah, is this your deen? I said, that's our deen. Wallahi, it is till his death, the man continued to appreciate that this is Islam. That was 13 years ago. So at another time, okay, he's 14 now, or 15. So at another time, because the first one, I knew what the order of the day was. Because the first one worked perfectly, I was not having any problem not to do the second one like that. Are you getting me? So I went there. But what happened there, maybe it's the rest of the story might not be relevant to this season. But I think what the father did was, he eventually asked me to talk to her. I said, sir, I was informed that you have a resolution that none of your kids, none of your daughters will marry except after their service. That if this is your resolution, I think it won't be nice for you to tell me to go and approach her. Go and approach her now. Okay. You know, he has given me the go ahead. So I did as he said, and as Allah would have it, okay, his daughter accepted. But you know what happened? It was a funny story. The father had called the daughter the same night I went, that he dreamt. Say, woman, look like Allah. Wallah, it was a real life story. He had called his daughter to tell him, somebody will come to you. You may naturally like that person, but that person will not be a good husband material for you. You know, oh my God, bless you. Okay, we keep that in Saladabai. Oh my God, Shelley. So we talked, and after a moment, you know what they started? Sister, where did you go to my father? I said, oh. Go to your father. I said, oh, my daddy called me yesterday to say that somebody would come. So you are his dream, Abby. So the sister wanted to be rebellious. I said, no, you don't do that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide a better alternative for you. So you never thought I would come your way. And you are not the only thing in my own life. You are not the only sugar in my own tea. Already there was a sugar in that tea. There was an honey. Maybe you are coming just to, maybe you are coming to, what is she coming to her? So, barakallahu fi. So, some of these things, I think that was an experience, that it's a possibility. You know why? When we do that, it was the father who caused our daughter that agony. But it was what? It was avertible. It could have been averted. But for lack of confidence on the part of the man and lack of religious understanding, so the sister was made a victim of that. So there are certain psychological and emotional feelings that go with the issue of proposal. I think we can save ourselves those feelings by not proposing directly to them. So naturally, if I know a sister that in her home, that her home is not pleasant, it's not there. Do you know, even Sheikh Uthaymeen said that before you are permitted, you know, there is an hadith that you are permitted to look at a woman without her knowledge, if it is for the purpose of marriage. Are you getting me? This is permissible. So many are hadith. In fact, there was a companion who was eating for the woman. And another companion, a tabi, met him there. He said, at your level. He said, I have the intention of marrying that sister. So you can have a gaze, a look at a woman, if that's your intention. But it is part of the etiquette that when you form an opinion, you don't look again. You understand? When your opinion is formed, not that you now make it an habit. You know, some people make that mistake. You propose to a Nikobite, even through her father, and they've accepted. She will now feel that anytime you are together, even in their home, that she can unveil. No. She will not unveil again until after Akhtun Nikah. Sheikh Ufemi mentioned that good brothers fall victim of that. I know students of knowledge who are victims. You know, this is Islam. This is Islam. So let us, from that psychological point of view, I don't want to go through the permissibility of even telling a sister, because I know already there's a sister on that. And we may not be able to force an opinion on people, an opinion. If I will say it's not permissible, on what premise will I say? But if I will say, okay, that is not the practice of the Salah. Yes, in a way. But at the same time, somebody will come through another angle and say, but if we address it in manners, you know, these things have to do with emotions. You understand? And feelings. I won't naturally want, I will advise naturally that no brother should disturb his sister emotionally and vice versa. Don't disturb yourself. Sheikh Uthaymeen now said it is part of the reason for khitbah that before you can look at a woman, he brought five conditions. One of such conditions is that it must be weightier on your mind that a father will give her out in marriage. It must be weightier on your mind. You know, not like people like us, like me, I used to say, people like us are from very, very, very noble background. Very, very noble background. So that we now come to campus and there is one Fatima and Dangote is there. I'm not sure because I used to come here 2 weeks and I say, bro, I'm here, I don't know, so how will I go to Dangote? Say, Dangote, if I do this to me. No, some people will say, Rora Yifei. No, it's not Rora Yifei. Take from your level. Hey. No, it's natural. You know, I know some of us that will be married. If you are married, some of us have spent decades and half, you know, and if you spend decades and half on a particular course, at least you will have attained PhD. So we know what we are talking about. If your marriage goes beyond those childish feelings that we used to have, I call it childish, I was selective. Saying it is childish. You understand? So what will be now in Asma also? Let us not cause that thing. You understand? So if I know naturally that I will not be appreciated by the family of the sister, I will naturally respect myself by making my proposal to another family who will be ready to accept me for who I am. So that some of these issues are avoidable. But you now tell me, what about in a situation where, okay, we want to continue like that. It means good sisters with rough backgrounds Islamically might be victims of not finding the best people around to marry. You know, that is the problem that will come there. It will now go further that, okay, what will be required of our sisters is to work tirelessly in their homes. In their homes. You work. You know what you want. Work for what you want. In such a way that you will have fought the battle before the brother comes. You know, there are families that will think that it is the husband that hijacked the man. If a sister wants marriage at 200 level, this is good. In our deal, it is even better. Realistically speaking, it is better. Because there's something now. You know, most of you young brothers, so those who are young amongst you, when a sister is more than 24, 25, you don't consider them for marriage again. Abi? But most of us, during our days, I was just 2 years older than my wife. So it means if I'm 40, my wife is 38. That is the fact. So, but now, it's not like that again. You see a brother of 25 looking for somebody around 16, 17. You know, that is also permissible. So it is even good for our sisters. You know the kind of life you want to live. And this is Islam. You start working on that on your home. Not that you bring the man to fight the battle. You understand? The man can just come to do the finishings. Not sisters, some sisters, their parents will tell them, Wallahi tuba mu ni sokotowa. So in that case, you don't say yes outside to anybody. Oh, you So I want us to see it more from that perspective. Wallahu ta'ala ala. I think I have communicated now.
The issue of frustration is that our parents don't understand this and we try to explain to them what they don't accept. What do you think we can do, or how do you think?
Wallahu a'lam, when we get enlightenment, let us enlighten our parents. whenever we get enlightened, let us also enlighten our parents. You know, like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said, "Ilam rahmatullah, annahu yajibu alayna ta'allum arba'i masail. Al-ula al-ilm wa ma'rifatu al-'abdi rabba wa ma'rifatu nabiyya wa ma'rifatu dinahu bil adilla." There are four things that are incumbent upon us. The first one is to seek for knowledge. And knowledge is for you to know about Allah, know the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, know his sunnah, and know your deen with evidence, concrete evidence. You know, some of our parents, particularly those of you who are fortunate to have literate as parents. Okay, my mother is illiterate, my father is literate. You know, but some of us have fathers and mothers as both literate, well literate. In that case, we have opportunity. Get a copy of Riyadu Salihi. Don't start with prostration. Get him to read certain things about the deen. This is slow. Are you getting me? Build his confidence in that book. And let his knowledge be built around that book. So, a time, when it happens, you just ask him, "Daddy, go back to your Riyadu Salihi." Your dad goes to Hajj. Then he gets a copy of Riyadu Salihin of Darussalam, the copy of Darussalam. Tell him to get that copy. Don't start with those things. Because naturally, man loves to be approached in a way or in a manner that is pleasant to them. If you don't approach me in a way that is pleasing to me, even if you are good, if you have good intention, you might not see my good side till in eternity. Shem Haman Shem. So let that not be the first topic. And let the beauty of Islam that is in us, let it shine continuously in us. Let it shine continuously in us. Let them build their confidence in you. So these are some of the solutions. But whether they understand or they don't understand, whether they allow or they don't allow, it is a sin for us to leave what is pleasing to Allah for what is pleasing to our parents. This is even dangerous. We have to remain resolute, remain committed, and we'll continue to show them our good side. Do we understand? Until Allah guides their heart. And if Allah doesn't guide their heart, we have our salaf in people like Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir was a noble person who was enjoying all the privileges that he could at that time. Our mother so much loved him. Mus'ab ibn Umair, sorry. Our mother so much loved him and would spend everything on him to make him attractive. So, but he accepted Islam. The mother wasn't at home with it. Now, it is not between a kafir parent and a mu'min's daughter or son. It's not between a Muslim and a Muslim. So, I think the case of Mus'ab ibn Umair was worse than some of our cases. Her mother rejected her and he became isolated. That even when he died, in one of the battles, I think in Badr, when he died, there was a garment on him that when his head, any attempt to have his head covered, the leg to the left uncovered. And to cover his leg, you have to leave his head uncovered. So they covered the head, and the person commanded the companions to get some leaves to cover his leg, and he was buried. And that was why in an authentic hadith, when Abdurrahman ibn Auf was sat his meal, he went and he said, and he imagined almost have died. This was somebody who had all the privileges of this world, but he left it for the sake of Islam. But this is the last option. Let us explore all our means. And also let us be mindful of people who take home to appeal to our parents. These things are very, very important. Okay, imagine somebody of Jabata origin going to appeal to a parent on the issue of kneeling down. Will he mar the case or make it? Approach matters. Approach really matters. And let us tell them, when we say it, let us be clear on it. Alhamdulillah, during the last Ramadan, one of the issues we took time, we took pain to clarify, was to distinguish between, because some brothers today just blanketly believe that any form of prostration is shirk. Because that Jabata virus has affected everybody. That people cannot think in a balanced way again. But no, it's not about that. Scholars distinguished between sujudu al-ibadah or sujudu tahiyyah. It's not all form of prostration that is categorized as shirk. And even when scholars described it as shirk, we ask, what type of shirk do they mean? Do they mean that anybody who does that automatically loses his faith? No, that's not what they said. It is haram, point blank. So some of these things, let us not confuse it. So that when we are trying to explain ourselves, we don't complicate matters in a way that our parents will think we are trying to declare them infidels. You understand? So some of these things are very, very important. But at every point in time, somebody must be very, very brave and resolute. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he accepted Islam, his mother rejected him. And they were living together in the same house. So later, the mother decided to go on hunger strike, that he won't eat anything. At another point in time, the mother abused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said very blasphemous things about the Prophet. Then Abu Huraira cried to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and appealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help me pray to Allah to guide the heart of Abu Huraira to Islam. And Abu Huraira got home and his mother gave the Shahada. So the last point there, Ma'alu Shahid there is prayer. Pray for your parents. For Allah to guide their heart to what is correct. Wallahu a'lam.